Well, then, my boy, after this catastrophe, a number of the members of that great learned society who had survived gradually came together again and, having lost their native land, first settled with other surviving beings in the center of the continent of Grabuntsi. But later, when they had somewhat come to themselves after this cataclysm, not according to law, they jointly decided to try to reestablish their society and perhaps to resume and fulfill in practice all the tasks that had formed its basis. Unfortunately, on that part of the surface of the continent of Grabuntsi, the abnormal conditions of being existence already established before the catastrophe had by this time begun to boil furiously. And so these surviving members of the Akaldan Society set about looking for another place on that continent for their permanent existence, more suitable for carrying on their work, which demanded complete seclusion. They found such a place in the valley of the large river flowing northward on that continent. They all migrated there with their families in order to continue in seclusion to fulfill the tasks undertaken by their society. The entire region through which this great river flowed, they first named Sacro-Nacari. This name was afterwards changed several times, and today that region is called Egypt, while the great river, then known as Nipalhuhachi, is now, as I've already said, called the Nile. Not long after these former members of the Learned Society of Akaldans had settled on this part of the surface of the planet Earth, all the beings of our tribe then existing on that planet migrated to the same place. The relationship of the beings of our tribe with that part of the surface of your planet, and also with those former members of the Society of Akaldans, who by chance had survived, came about as follows. I once told you that just before the second Transipalnian perturbation, our pythoness, during a prophecy, had insisted that all the beings of our tribe should migrate, without delay, to a definite part of the same continent now called Africa for the continuation of their existence on that planet. The part of the continent indicated by the pythoness lay near the source of the river Nipalhuhachi, and the beings of our tribe existed there during the whole of the second Transipalnian perturbation and also later, when things became relatively normal, and most of the surviving terrestrial beings had almost forgotten the catastrophe and had again formed, just as if nothing had happened to them, one of their famous centers of culture in the very heart of the future Africa. And while the former members of the Society of Akaldans were looking for a suitable place for their permanent existence, they chanced to meet several beings of our tribe who advised them to migrate farther down the river. Our friendly relations with many of the former members of the Society of Akaldan had begun on the continent of Atlantis and went back almost to the founding of that society. Do you remember I told you that when I descended to that planet for the first time, the beings of our tribe were assembled in the city of Samlios in order, with my participation, to find some way out of the difficult situation that had been created? Well, then, those general meetings of ours were held in one of the chapter halls of the principal cathedral of the Society of Akaldans. And from that time on, good relations were established between the beings of our tribe and certain members of that society. And there, in the future Egypt, where both of these groups of beings had migrated, as I have described, the relations of the beings of our tribe with those former members who had by chance survived, and also with their descendants, lasted without interruption almost until the departure of our tribe from your planet. The hope of the few remaining members of the Society of Akaldan that they would be able to revive the society and carry out its tasks was not fulfilled. Nevertheless, Thanks to them alone, there was preserved, in the presence of the beings of several generations after the loss of Atlantis, the sense and instinctive conviction of the need for what is called completed personal being. It was also thanks to them that certain attainments of the reason of the three-brain beings there survived as long as their reason remained normal, and after a while began to be transmitted mechanically from generation to generation, reaching the beings of quite recent periods, and even certain beings of the present day. Among the results of the scientific attainments of the members of the Akeldaan Society, transmitted by inheritance, were also unquestionably those imposing and ingenious structures that during the fourth descent of mine to your planet, I saw being erected by the beings breeding on that part of the present Africa. Although when I saw this new observatory with my own eyes, the expectations I had formed about it from everything our countrymen had told me were not justified. Nevertheless, this observatory and the other architectural works of the beings of that region proved to be exceedingly ingenious and aroused in my common presence data that enriched my consciousness with a great deal of productive information. So that you may clearly represent to yourself and understand how these structures were erected by the three-brain beings of this region, for the welfare of their being existence, it will be enough, I think, if I explain to you, in as great detail as possible, how the particularity of their ingenious and practical inventions was manifested in this new observatory, on account of which I had decided to visit that place. To begin with, I must inform you of two facts related to the change in the common presence of these three-brain beings who have taken your fancy. The first fact is that at the beginning, while they were still existing normally in a manner becoming to all three-brain beings in general, and while they still had what is called Orionesnoknian sight, they could perceive with their own eyes the visibility of all great and small cosmic concentrations existing beyond them during any process of the omnipresent Okidanok taking place in their atmosphere up to a distance proper to the vision of ordinary three-brain beings. Moreover, those who had consciously perfected themselves and who had thereby brought the sensitivity of perception of their organ of sight up to what is called the oleosalstratsnoknian state, as do three-brain beings everywhere else, acquired the possibility of perceiving at the same distance the visibility of all cosmic units whose arising and further existence depend upon crystallizations coming directly from the sacred Theomert Melogos, that is to say, from the emanations of our most holy Sun Absolute. And when the abnormal conditions of ordinary being existence had become fixed there, and when, for reasons I've already told you about, great nature was compelled, among other restrictive measures, to degrade the functioning of their organ of sight to what is called the Korotsnokian level, proper only to the presence of one-brained and two-brained beings, from that time on, the three-brained beings there were able to perceive the visibility of any great or small cosmic concentrations situated beyond them, only when the sacred process of Ioioa proceeded in the omnipresent active element Okidanok in the atmosphere of their planet, or, as they say, according to their understanding and perceptions, in the dark of night. The second fact, also related to the degeneration of their sight, is based on a law common to all beings, namely, that the results of any manifestation of the omnipresent Okidano are perceived only when the organ of sight is in immediate contact with the vibrations formed in beings which actualize the functioning of that being organ, enabling it at the given moment to perceive the visibility of cosmic concentrations situated beyond them. That is to say, the results of any manifestation of the omnipresent Okidanok are perceived only when they take place within certain limits, depending upon the quality of perception attained by the given organ, and beyond these limits, what is called the momentum of the impulse dies down. Or to put it otherwise, these beings perceive the visibility of objects only when they are almost next to them. But if these results take place beyond the mentioned limits, this manifestation does not reach those beings in whose presence the organ of visual perception has been formed only by the results of the totality of itoklenots. Here it's opportune to recall one of the profound sayings of our Mullanasra Din, which very neatly fits the present case. That is, the degree to which the visual perception of your contemporary favorites is limited. This wise saying of his, seldom used there, consists of the following words. Show me the elephant the blind man has seen, and then I will believe that you really see a fly.